You are listening to The Diabetic Lunchbox. The views and opinions of the show are those of its hosts and guests. Hello and welcome again to The Diabetic Lunchbox. You are here with your host, as always, Tim Rivera. I'm glad that you guys are here for this new episode, and I'm glad that you guys were able to listen to the past two. The first one, the pilot episode, I've realized with the help of my fiance that I did get some dates wrong on my crisis that I went through. I said that the whole me getting sick and throwing up early stages of ketoacidosis happened over the weekend, and actually it happened over one day. So all of that bad stuff happened in one whole day, which is terrifying because that just shows right there that I don't remember. I honestly don't remember anything that happened. So correction right there. I had to fix that. I think that was really some of the big stuff that I missed. I don't know. I'll probably hear about it whenever my fiance listens to the episode. Anyways, with episode two, we did get an interview in for the very first of the Diabetic Lunchbox interview series. And this one was with my dad. And it was a real tough one because it was talking about his journey through diabetes and the struggles he's gone through. And to see where he's at now, to see that growth from the period of time of whenever it first started to my diabetic journey to where he's at now has changed so much. And the fact that I even got him to do an interview on here and really be that open was a big, big deal for me and for you listeners. So be happy about that. With that, though, we are going back on to the continuation of a regular episode. I might get another interviewee on sometime, maybe by the next episode, not 100% sure. We shall see. The biggest thing I want is for everybody to find something to listen to, find some type of inspiration that they're going to go on. With that, I guess we will continue into most recent news. I did not do a weigh-in like I normally do on my social media, the Instagram, which is the Diabetic Journey of Tim. I normally do a weigh-in every 2 weeks at 3 p.m., and I do it live so people can see it and I can be held accountable for what my weight is. The reason why I canceled that is because I want to make it where I have the podcast 1 week and the weigh-in the next week. I felt that I was overlapping and saying all the stuff I'm going to say in my podcast on the live. So it was kind of pointless for me to do a podcast if I was going to be talking about it on my social media. So yeah, if you guys do follow me on that, please tune in next week. I will be making a big announcement on what the goal is for the future self because I already hit my major goal. That's right. I have lost 100 pounds since May 2nd. May 2nd? No. Yeah, May 7th, actually, because I had an appointment that... Yeah, May 7th was my first appointment with my doctor, Dr. Martin, and it was where I found out I was 403 pounds. As of last week, I hit the 303. I was actually 302, so 101 pounds I have lost officially since then. And it's a big deal for me. It was something exciting, and I'm really glad that I was able to get there. I have a lot of help and a lot of inspiration from people, so that's the biggest thing I can see. So I'm always grateful for all the people that have helped me out. And honestly, a lot of them are going to be featured in this podcast when I get the chance to be able to talk to them. Everybody's busy. Everybody's doing things. Everything has to be done over Zoom or FaceTime because, well, there's a pandemic going on, so I can't just go to people's houses like I want to. Oh, well. I shall learn. Anyways, let's get on to today's episode. For those of you who did follow me on my social media, I had a big dilemma on my hands when coming up with this podcast. I had to create three names, and the top three names were voted on to become the name of the podcast, which Diabetic Lunchbox is what won. The other two were actually what episode one was, The Unexpected Journey, and what tonight's, I say tonight's because it's already 6:38 here. Tonight's episode is called The Walking Diabetic, How to Survive in What Feels Like a Vegan Apocalypse. And that is really going to be focusing on the vegan plant-based lifestyle. So those of you who may not be interested in cited or have your own beliefs, by all means, you can stop listening unless you want to keep supporting me, which I am totally appreciative of you. I'm not going to sit here and say that, hey, you're a bad person for eating meat. I'm not that kind of thing. I guess what I've become or learned is there's a different types of vegan. Most of the times, plant-based is what people are called whenever they just do plants, but don't have the moral background or backing of the what happens to animals. So there are ethical vegans as well, which that's one of the biggest parts of what people know with vegans is that they are very big on animal rights and what happens with that and the food sources, which I have learned quite a bit. And I've learned a lot about the industry, and I've also learned that a lot of the stuff that they said I could only get through eating meat or dairy or fish, things like that, I could get it only through those, which I've now learned that plants actually are the way how I can get all that stuff too. And I've done it, and I am still alive today. So all those people who say that you can't survive off of plants, guess what? I have. But that was my rant that I have. But don't worry, I'm not going to shame you for anything like that. I'm just going to be bringing up sort of my journey and some of the things I can offer to those of you who are interested in say that. Of course, like I said, and as my disclaimer always says, I am not telling you to do this. What works for me may not work for you. That's okay. If you're interested inside this, do the research, find out. So anyways, first we're going to give some education, which if we look at it, there are certain things called food deserts. Food deserts are where there are certain towns, certain places where, honestly, a grocery store, fresh produce, things like that are super far away in other cities. So the only thing that's really left is fast food, and fast food. These are popping up everywhere, unfortunately, due to the fact that fast food is easy. Fast food makes money. Fast food is what keeps the machine going. And unfortunately for us in the world, we are stuck into this drive that's all we need. Now, before anybody starts getting mad at me for what I'm saying, remember, I was an avid fast food person. I would go pick up fast food for lunch, for dinner, 4, 5, 6 days out of the week. I rarely cooked. And I have two grocery stores in town, so I can go to them, but I was going to the fast food places because they were quick and easy. And that's the whole point. That's what's making this happen. So people are using those more, and grocery stores aren't exactly surviving as much. And these people aren't getting the fresh produce that they need, so they're just going to go with the next best thing, which is, a piece of lettuce and tomato, but it's also accompanied with greasy patties, greasy cheese, 10 strips of bacon, all the stuff that is completely destroying the point of having any of the veggies. So that's some education. I can't really say education. This is what I'm talking about right here. I can't say education. If anybody wants to correct me on things, by all means, please message me. That's why I'm here. But the biggest thing I'm going to talk about with this is the vegan deserts. Sort of like where I'm at right now. In the good old South area. Yeah, we'll just go ahead and say it. In the great old state of Texas, in certain areas where the cattle industry is very large and prominent, people like me are seen as a problem because we are killing the cattle industry by being these crazy people. Well, I'll tell you this. It does suck being in this area and being a plant-based vegan, because there really isn't anything here for us. There are other places, like even in the Dallas-Fort Worth, Austin, San Antonio, Houston area, there are vegan restaurants on every corner. Ice cream places, bakeries, Mexican restaurants. I want Mexican food, but I have to cook it myself because there isn't much here. We have luckily one restaurant here, and they do their very best to keep us going, and I am so glad, because I used to eat them before I became plant-based vegan, and their food was phenomenal before, and now that I've had the plant-based vegan food, it has gotten only better, which is funny because I used to think, oh, I'd never eat any of that stuff. And here I am today eating it. So it's amazing how much it will grow on you whenever you actually take the time and try things. I'm getting off topic with that. So, you guys are asking me, what did I do? What did I do to survive this type of area? And to be honest, the only thing I could tell you, I had to do what I had to do. We're talking buying bags of beans, bags of rice, canned tomatoes, canned beans, lettuce, bell peppers, fresh veggies. We'll just go with that. You have to go with what your area offers you. You're not going to be able to find Beyond Meat, Impossible Burgers, Miyoko's, Daiya, Sweet Earth, Field Roast. All these names I'm saying are companies that will actually make these meat products or cheese products, things I used to eat before. They're not always going to be here. They're not always going to be in the areas. And I had to learn that when we first started, because before we did all of this, we were whole food plant-based. Whole food plant-based is pretty much where you're doing like the bare minimum. You're eating plants. There's no oils, nothing like that. So a lot of the vegan food I couldn't have before. And that's what got me started. Once my numbers started getting a lot better, we switched from whole food plant-based to plant-based / vegan. So we could start enjoying some of these meals and actually being able to go eat at that restaurant, because let's face it, that's one of the biggest things that I wanted, was to be able to go get some food. Now, when I say restaurant, we do takeout. We like curbside pickup, because we are still in the middle of a pandemic, people. Sorry, didn't mean to yell. But onward with the actual podcast. Some of these items, I had no idea what they were, and I didn't know how to cook them. I will tell you this, it is really hard to cook quinoa when you don't know what quinoa is. Or lentils. Oh, lentils. I despise lentils with a passion, and I think it's because I don't know how to cook them. Well, I say that, but I honestly don't know if I know how to enjoy them either. So that's my life. That's where I'm at now. But anyways, I want to offer some tips and top items on what you guys can get if you are interested inside the vegan plant-based lifestyle. So some of the top items that I will recommend. So now, before I continue on with that list, these are going to also include things that I had to do as a diabetic. So if you're a diabetic listening to this, I'm going to give you also the four things that Dr. Martin said for me to do. And he says, we do this to help keep our sugars down and to help us lose weight. So the four things are no sugary drinks, no white potatoes, no white flour, no white rice. Yes, I know. Those are all the good things. The things that taste amazing. There's a reason why we can't have those. And it's mainly because whenever they process in our body, they create a lot of sugar, which can cause a lot of problems for us. So I took what he said, even though he did say, if you're doing plant-based, that's great. You can do it. Take a B12. Even though he said that, I was still going to respect his wishes as my doctor and include that. So I've had to replace a few of those things. And I've honestly grown to really enjoy the lifestyle without those four. Mainly the sugary drinks, because I used to drink Cokes all the time, juice all the time, sugary coffee drinks all the time. And now here I am. I drink water and I drink black coffee. I always drink black coffee, but sometimes, you know, you do want that pumpkin spice latte or your hardcore sugary drinks. So, yeah, I've changed that part of my life, and it's worked out really well. And then replacing the white rice with brown rice, the white flour with whole wheat flour, or oat flour, or almond flour. There are so many flours out there, guys. We have options. You don't have to go with it. And also white potatoes. Now, white potatoes, I will go ahead and throw this out there. I miss potatoes so much. I miss potatoes. And yeah, I really do. I miss potatoes so much. But I have been able to replace them with sweet potatoes. Yes, I can get away with sweet potatoes. And I'm okay with that. That is not a big deal for me. I actually never used to like sweet potatoes until all of this. I lost my train of thought with that. Sorry. Potatoes do that to me. So anyways, my top list of items you will need. I'll break it down in a few little steps. Not really steps, but categories, I guess. So if we're talking like grains and stuff, a bag of brown rice and a bag of quinoa. Those will be your best friends. Those are going to really help you out. The quinoa, especially if you have like, I don't know, an instant pot, which I will also include, you know, appliances that you could probably need. But an instant pot is pretty much going to be what you're going to need inside your plant-based vegan lifestyle because it cooks everything so fast. One cup of quinoa and a cup of rice or a cup of water. Ha ha! One cup of quinoa and one cup of water. Put that inside the instant pot. Put it on for 1 minute and boom, you have quinoa. It's ready. That simple. That easy. Rice, meh, it takes a little figuring out. But I perfected it to 20 minutes in the instant pot and then 10 minutes of letting it sit there and let the pressure out on its own. That's how I do it. So grain, that would be with that. With pasta, whole wheat pasta. That's going to be your best friend. I know whole wheat pasta sounds disgusting, but it's actually really good. I've enjoyed it. I've actually grown to like it even more than regular pasta. So whole wheat pasta is a good option. Beans. Beans, beans, beans. I recommend getting pinto beans inside a bag. So get dry beans because for me, it's easier to cook. And I really feel like canned beans are really salty, so I don't go with that. Now, the rest of the beans, yeah, no. Forget it. That can go in a can. Black beans, red beans. Cannelloni beans. I always get made fun of for that one because I don't know how to say it. But those beans, those you can get in a can because you can rinse them and it's a lot easier to cook. But I've always been a fan of cooking my own pinto beans, so it works out. Now, lentils, you don't need them. You don't need them. You're fine. Don't get lentils. They're disgusting. If you like lentils, congratulations. I don't. So besides that, the next thing I would recommend needing on this list would go towards definitely the flour. The whole wheat flour would be a good option to start with. And that's for baking, reality, anything that you can do. But I've used my whole wheat flour for everything. I bake something at least twice a week. And the flour I will recommend that you sift. You sift it to get all the stuff out because this whole wheat flour is not processed like regular white flour is. So it's going to have those few grains inside it, but it's better because the processing does make it where it loses a lot of its natural nutrition, I guess, really. So, yeah, that's the reason why I use a whole wheat flour. From that as well, I would inform you that sugar. We always sit there and we think, oh, well, I can have whatever sugar I want. No, we can't. Diabetics, come on. Half of the reason why we're here is because of sugar. So I would recommend using pure maple syrup. I know it sounds crazy, but pure maple syrup is actually what I use for most of my baking stuff. Because it's inside its purest form. It's not processed, like refined sugar. The next best thing from that pure maple syrup would be brown sugar. But in moderation. Again, as we always say, everything in moderation, because that's the truth. You have to do it in moderation. If you don't, you're going to be miserable. So yeah. And then with that, I'm going to go ahead and go with the veggies. Veggies, bell pepper, onion, garlic. Yes, fresh garlic. It's going to make your dishes taste so much better than using garlic powder or onion powder. Just get it. And from there, that's honestly the list I'm going to recommend. Those are the items that you just need getting started. You can make so many meals with just doing that. Then eventually you'll add things like low-sodium soy sauce for any of the dishes you want to make. Hot sauce. Make your own barbecue sauce. You'll figure it out. The best thing about plant-based vegan lifestyle is it's so much of uncharted territory that you can actually go out there and try a recipe and go from that point. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say, well, what about tofu? Tofu should be on the list, and I would say that if I felt that tofu was something everybody likes. I did not care for tofu. I thought tofu looked disgusting. Now I cook with it all the time because I learned how to cook with it. I learned what to do. So that'll be on next level. Next level item would be tofu. But the point is, you can experiment and try different things that you're going to cook. We're not stuck in the whole point of tons of cookbooks out there saying, hey, you have to do this, 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 or all the Food Network shows saying, hey, cook this, 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 or hey, look at this Burger King commercial. Come get this new burger that makes you fill your arteries with grease and nastiness. Vegan plant-based doesn't really have that. We don't have that option. And it's nice because it feels so refreshing to not be having it thrown right in front of your face or shoved down your throat. Now, I know a lot of people say, oh, well, vegans are the ones who do that. No. We just want you guys to respect the fact that we don't eat meat. Most people here act like I'm, you know, I have the plague or something because I don't eat meat. You should be glad I don't eat meat. So that saves a cow for you if you want it. Although, really, you shouldn't be. Poor things. Anyways. With that, we're going to continue on with the list that I have here. And the biggest way to how to get yourself with the resources that you need to survive this vegan apocalypse, so to say, is go online. Go to websites. If you're willing to pay some good money for some great food and great products that you're only going to find in bigger cities because, hey, you live in a little podunk town where, you know, everything closes at 10 and vegans are shunned like they're witches over in the Salem witch trials, then you need to find resources like this. If you're living like with me where I'm at, websites are going to be your best friends. So I'm going to recommend a few that I've tried. I've tried GTFO, it's vegan, and there they have plenty of products out there that you can try. Different plant-based meats, cheeses, bread stuff you can do, ice cream, guys. Even marshmallows. I love marshmallows, but I can't have marshmallows until GTFO It's Vegan came out. So over there, they do that. You can order the stuff, they ship it out, and they put it inside a box that's going to be keeping everything nice and cold until it gets to you. Now, granted, we are in a pandemic, so know that if somehow FedEx loses your package or they get behind because it's FedEx, your food might become a little defrosted. Whenever I got my order, I actually got it just in time, so I'm okay with it. I don't blame them for doing what they're doing because it's a great service for us. For the people who live in these areas inside these vegan apocalypses, we need this stuff. Another place I would recommend is VegCo. We haven't tried it yet because this is more of like bulk items, but we are having it on our list to use and get certain items that we need. Mainly my Beyond Meat sausage, because my breakfast sausage is wonderful and I love it, so I need it. But yeah, so try websites. Try to go to places that you need to get some of that stuff. So those are some of my recommendations with that. And if you are really, 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 really wanting to dedicate to this, you need more help. You need resources. You need to be able to look at something and get an idea on how to get started. So I'm going to recommend these resources. Forks Over Knives is the best resource that I have been able to find with a whole food plant-based diet. They were actually the magazine that my nurse gave to my fiance whenever I was in the hospital not remembering anything. She was smart to give it to my fiance because, yeah, I would have lost it. But this magazine has things and stories about other people who have used the program, people who have enjoyed the food, how to cook things, or recipes, breakfast, lunch, dinner, desserts. You have options. There's things. Try it. The next thing would be looking for books. Justin Weber, known as Cromoon Kitchen on Instagram, wrote a cookbook called The Whole Food Plant-Based Cookbook. I bought it off of Amazon, and it is a great resource. And it's not just on recipes on what to cook. I found out how to store my vegetables in my fridge the right way. I didn't know there was a right way. I just thought throwing them in there and they just went bad. That's life. No, there's a way to do it, to keep it from losing its crispiness and its freshness. I haven't had to throw away vegetables in so long, and it's wonderful because I bought this resource. So yeah, look at these books. Find different things. Do research online. Social media as well. Social media is the best place where you can find everything. That's where I found out most of my stuff. When I got started with my journey, my fiance sent me 50 billion different profiles on Instagram. I'm exaggerating, but yeah, I got a lot. And I realized that these people who were posting pictures of their food or their journey were actually inspiring me. I was looking at a pizza that was made 100% plant-based, and I thought it looked way better than normal pizza. A burger. Fries. Mainly I miss fries because I can't have potatoes. So, yeah. But anyways, even baked goods, cakes, cheesecakes, cookies, all of that was there on these Instagram profiles. So when I created mine, I followed them too. So look on Instagram for different people. Cromoon Kitchen is one of the ones I follow, and he's such a great guy. He offers so much help. Next one, Jessica in the Kitchen has some great recipes as well. Tabitha Brown. If you don't know who Tabitha Brown is, go to her page and just watch some of her videos and you will fall in love with her. She is such a sweetheart, and she inspires me every day to keep going. With that, Plant You, Vegan Travel Eats, Plantifully Based. I made some amazing breadsticks the other night, full of cheese, and they were great. Plantifully Based was one of my favorites recently, just because it's breadsticks. Or even, you know, little basic, smaller people, people who are just getting started. Talk to them. Message them because they're going through some of the things you are too. They're going to be your biggest resource because they're your support group. That's what you need, is that support. Even podcast. My podcast, if I can support you and I can be an inspiration, cool. Do I think I'm doing that? Maybe. We'll see. But one of the biggest podcasts I followed is The Vegan Abattoir, which is ran by Kevin Smith and his daughter Harley Quinn Smith. His daughter has been vegan for quite some time, I believe 5 years now, maybe longer actually. And she convinced her dad to go plant-based after he had his major heart attack, where pretty much he was told he was going to die. And he dedicated to the lifestyle, and he hasn't looked back since. So this amazing podcast that I've found is one that will actually educate you and teach you about what you need to know, and really where to even, I guess, not be ignorant in understanding what the vegan lifestyle is, where they're coming from. Because yes, I know some people aren't going to change about eating meat. Their granddaddies ate meat, their great-great-granddaddies ate meat at the war, blah, 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 blee, blue, blah, 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 blah. That's fine. But I always feel it's good to be educated and understand on where they're coming from, because that makes us better people. And for them, they're not saying that they're actual, like, studied and fully amazing resources, that they're experts. But the people they have on the show are experts who are actually doing studies on all this stuff. So if you want to find out actual scientific facts on things, that podcast is one I would recommend. So yeah, we've covered a lot. I've talked about sort of my journey, kind of really rambled in this one. I even had bullet points, and they said, do bullet points so you don't ramble. I still rambled. Bah. But either way, it's okay. I really do want to say I appreciate y'all for listening in on episode 3. It means a lot to me that I'm having even the support I'm getting. I know most of it's friends and family, and that's okay, because you guys are some of my biggest fans and my biggest support. The most love I'm getting is coming from all of y'all, and that means the world to me. So thank you again for listening. As always, I will see you guys in 2 weeks with another episode. If you want to, well, ask me any questions or anything, by all means, follow me on all the different social medias. Facebook, it's under Diabetic Lunchbox. Instagram, The Diabetic Journey with Tim. Twitter, it's Diabetic Lunch BX. You can go over there and follow me, ask me questions, tell me how much you like me or hate me. I don't really care, because you guys have opinions, you guys have things you want to say, and that's okay. I'm not here to tell you you're wrong. I'm just here to tell you that you are the one who can make the change. You are the one who can be the inspiration for somebody. So do your best, feel happy, love everyone, and have a great week. Thank you guys again for listening. Until next time, take care. We want to thank you for listening to today's episode. Please subscribe to The Lunchbox on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Podomatic. If you want to follow us on our social media, you can find us on Twitter at DiabeticLunchBX and on Facebook at DiabeticLunchbox. And a big thank you to John Stacy for writing this amazing intro and outro. Remember, just because this stuff worked for me doesn't mean it'll work for you. Before you start any change in your lifestyle, please speak with your primary care physician, therapist, or dietitian.